Hello everyone. This podcast is presented by Studio 3, an in-house production studio of Dongrilla.com.
We all bring unusual talents to this job, and how do we take those talents and put them in their best position to succeed? You know, kind of taking great people and letting them sort of realize their potential, there's nothing more fun.
So looking back, what would you say are some of the key things that made you successful?
I didn't come here to be a partner. I didn't come here to stay. And so when I did things because I thought they were the right things to do. I did what I believed in, and I never really cared about how I was going to be viewed or what it meant about my career progression. And I think with that, it gave me just unbelievable freedom. Many people would say I was fearless. I would say I was clueless, not fearless. But it allowed me, you know, just on the margin to always do the right things, always do the things that I felt were important for the client.
So if you could speak to younger Nancy, what advice might you give her on day one?
Good question. You know, I think what I would say is whatever you're doing, throw yourself into. I think there's so much to learn and there's so much you don't know and that you can't know ahead of a study, that if you just embrace it and, you know, just go all in is all I can say. And don't hesitate to speak up. Don't hesitate to ask questions. Don't hesitate to say you don't know something. Let yourself, you know, sort of free yourself, if you will, to just the curiosity, getting to know the client, solving the problem, getting to know your teammates.
What are some opportunities in the firm that you think people maybe don't take enough advantage of?
So I think the opportunity to just get to know people is much higher than people think or expect. So I'd really challenge them, you know, to do that. And there's probably not a person at McKinsey that isn't, you know, somehow interesting to know. I sometimes say that one of the things people also can do is they can feel an artificial break between their professional life and their personal life, particularly when they're starting, they want to feel very professional. When I first started, you know, you're 20 some odd years old and your clients are much older. And so I wanted to be very professional. And I had a client, it was actually fortunately my first year, that said, let's go out for a drink. And we went out for a drink and it was a woman, who was one of the senior women. And she said to me, you know, I think I like you, but I don't know you at all because you've got such a professional facade and a poker face. I have no idea what you're thinking. I have no idea what you care about. And that absolutely startled me because I didn't see myself. I hope I'm not that type of person. I never saw myself that way. And it made me realize that I was doing it to myself. I was holding myself back. And boy, that was my wake-up call. And with that, I just sort of said, okay, that is not me. I'm going to be myself.
So, Nancy, you're married. You've got two beautiful children. How did you balance all of that work and family at a time when there wasn't as much conversation about it as there is now?
So I hate the word balance because I don't think you're ever in balance. At least I never was. Maybe I was teetering on the precipice. But I always called it navigation. You know, it shoals in the, you know, river and you're finding your way every day. You know, I had the benefit of having an incredibly supportive husband, and we were in it together. So my biggest advice to people is choose your spouse very well. Make sure they're a real partner with you. But beyond that, I was very open about having my kids and the importance that they had in my life with my clients. And so my kids and my family, you know, became something I shared and something that therefore I could say things like, you know, if I remember there was going to be a progress review and I said, the CEO said, what's wrong? And I said, well, you know, that date really doesn't work for me because my daughter has a play. And he said, okay, fine, let's move it. It's not that hard. They have kids too. And so, you know, there are times that it's tough. There is no question there are times that it's tough. But, you know, at least if you share the struggles that you're going through and how you're trying to balance things, people are going to try and help you out.
So throughout the course of your career, you basically redefined what it means to be a people leader at McKinsey. What is it that drew you to the people side of the mission, and why was it so important to you for so long?
For me, this is very much a people business, both our relationships with our clients and how we grow and build those around us, and how we grow ourselves. And when I ran the people committee, I felt like I had the opportunity to really at that point changed the way the firm thought about people. What we did working with a lot of fabulous people inside and outside the firm is through academic research understand that if people actually understood their strengths and worked on their strengths rather than focusing on their weaknesses and trying to get them up to standard, that we could really drive what we call outlier performance. Take what was great and make it distinctive. And I think the most rewarding thing to me was seeing how quickly that got embraced by the firm. For me, when I think about strengths, it's not just about McKinsey. I actually used it in my personal life. I have a great story. My son played baseball, and he was a catcher. So we're up in the stands like all parents are watching our kids play. My son gets up first at bat, and strikes out. And I said to my husband, what are you going to say to Robbie when he comes out of the dugout? And he said, well, I'm going to tell him how he jerked his shoulders in that first up at bat. And I said, well, do you think maybe he knows that? Why don't you instead tell him what he did well this game? And so, in fact, Robbie came out of the dugout and he said, you played a great game. You did this, you did that. And Robbie said, yeah, but in the first inning, I jerked my shoulders. And my husband said, but you have a great natural swing. You just needed to settle down. Let me tell you the normal scenario, which he would have told them, here's what you did wrong. Robbie would have stopped talking to him. We would have walked to the car in silence, driven home. I would have tried to create a conversation. No one would have been talking to each other. You have chances every day to recognize people and their strengths. And if you do, I think the feedback will be immediate.
So if 10 years from now, somebody were to ask about Nancy Killefer and what she did for the firm, what would you want people to say about your legacy here?
I guess, actually, first and foremost for me, it would be about the people I helped and the people I made a difference for. I'll be totally honest with you. I never really cared about business. I actually cared about helping people. And so in those last couple of years, when I was both able to help people and really see an impact on the broader society, it was incredibly fulfilling. Actually, as Larry Kanarek did in My Going Away, and she did it her way. So, you know, for me, I had fun. I loved it. I loved what I did. And I felt I was always true to myself.
Thank you for listening. For more such amazing podcasts, please log on to dongrilla.com.